Welcome to Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets, today featuring her sister, best-selling author, speaker, and holistic physical therapist, Sally Morgan. Are you looking for a deeper connection with your animals, exploring options in alternative healing modalities, searching for training options that you feel good about? Listen now to Sally as she interviews the top experts that answer your questions to help keep your pets naturally healthy.
Hello, you are listening to Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets, and I am Sally Morgan, Dr. Judy Morgan's sister, a holistic physical therapist for pets and people, and your host today. You can hear this show every Monday and Tuesday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time on DreamVision7Radio.com. And today, I'm here with my guest, Karen Tindall, and I am so excited to have her here with us. She is a fellow Jersey girl who moved to New York State in 1979. And even as a young child, she always loved animals and found it easier to connect with them than with people sometimes. And then she and her husband, Brian, moved to New York State to fulfill their mutual love of animals and start a dairy farm where they had Holsteins milking over 60 head of cattle and raising young stock, which, as you know, is a lot of work. So, like so many farmers, it's still going on. They were forced to give up their farm because there was a milk surplus and they weren't making enough money. But in the meantime, Karen had showed and owned Arabian horses, which I also started with. Her horses, Shama and Liza, she had for 30 years and showed very successfully, competing even at the National Arabian Horse Show in 2000 and taking a top 10 finish in fine harness driving. And then, like me, she turned from the horse world to the dog world and became interested in agility, and we'll hear more about that later, and her special dog, Winston. And she then also had a background in dancing, just like me. And along the way, she became interested in dancing with your dog as a fun and awesome way, she says, to train your dog and enhance your bond and your relationship with your dog. So I am so happy to have Karen with us today to talk about her business, the Dazzle Dogs, which is a dancing with dogs kind of production company that does wonderful demonstrations, and she competes and she does classes. And today, even her very talented border collie, Karina, and Karen competed in the New York City America's Got Talent Season 12 program, and they were very good and got moved on to another audition and an interview. And sadly, they didn't make the final cut. But Karina has also had television acting spots and is a master agility dog with the AKC. Karen is not a certified dog trainer. She's completely self-taught. And yet, after 4 years of agility classes and one freestyle seminar, she is sharing her love of dogs and many dog sports with so many dog lovers across this country, in particular at Camp Getaway, where she does classes every year. So I am so pleased to have you with us today, Karen.
Well, thank you, Sally, dear.
So tell me about your experience with dogs as a child. Like, how did you get interested in working with dogs? It's not such an easy shift from cows and horses to dogs.
This is very true. However, it's very similar, too. To be honest with you, I really didn't get, as a child, we just had, you know, a family pet dog, and that was it. And, you know, I just always connected with my animals more than some of my own family members. You know, just did the, just as a pet, you know. But I honestly, my love as a child was horses, probably just as you. You know, I probably had a bedroom similar to you, Sally, where the whole room had horse knickknacks all over it. And
oh, yeah, the Briar horses in their stalls.
Every year, you know, on my Christmas list, of course, I lived in suburbia, New Jersey, so that wasn't going to happen. You know, I always wanted a horse. And so when we moved, my husband and I moved up here in 79 from New Jersey to Argyle, New York, we, you know, had a dairy farm, and within 3 months, I had my very first horse.
Oh, wow.
So my love of dogs, I always had dogs as pets, but my when I got Winston, I actually didn't start getting into the dog world until 2001. I retired from showing horses, and Winston, my first corgi at the time, He was 7 years old when I started agility. Seven. He was a senior dog.
And lots of people start when they're two, right?
Or like all my other dogs after Winston, you know, you start training them as puppies with your foundation work. But he proved that an old dog, the old saying, an old dog can, you know, you can't teach an old dog a new trick, that's so wrong. And he proved that. His first competition, he was 8.5 years old. Because, you know, it took about 1.5 years training to get him ready to compete. And, I mean, this dog just, like, won everything. I mean, I competed AKC trials, you know, ASCA trials at the time, NADAC trials at the time, CPE trials. And, like, he just won everything.
What were you competing with him?
Pardon me?
What were you competing in with him?
Agility.
Uh-huh. Listeners aren't clear about what agility is, can you just tell us a little bit about what that was that he was doing with you?
Yes, good question. Agility is like many of you may have seen on TV or at your local fairs, they do demonstrations. Agility is an obstacle course where all sorts of obstacles, climbing obstacles, jumps, tunnels, the dog is trained to run through this course. You have to be trained in order to know how to run your dog through the course. Takes years of training. And you go to competitions, the American Kennel Club. There's several venues out there that offer agility competitions. And just like all your other dog venue competitions, you start off at the novice level and you work your way up. Each level gets harder and harder, and you work your way up to the master's level. And so we got to that level with him, and unfortunately, with him, just like my other corgis, before I retired, I had to stop him. He was, 11 years old and still competing and still winning. And unfortunately, degenerative myelopathy ended his career. But other than that, he would have still been going. Degenerative myelopathy, which we'll discuss later, is a disease that's very common in many breeds, sadly very common in the Pembroke Welsh Corgi breed. And it's identical, for you folks that don't know, it's identical to human ALS. Lou Gehrig's disease. So that about sums it up for folks that may not understand it. It's identical to the disease, and it operates, it takes its victims identical to the ALS.
Meaning that there's a gradual paralysis from lower extremities to the front end of the dog
over a period
of time.
Right. Just like a person in a dog, it normally starts in the hind end, in the hind legs, usually with one of them, then migrates to the other leg. Then just like a person, starts migrating up the spine and starts taking its bladder and bowel function along the way, and then takes its front legs, just like a person with ALS who would eventually take their arms, function of all this stuff, and then eventually paralyzes their neck, and then eventually at the end, just like a person, it will start affecting their respiratory and or swallowing functions. It's a dreadful thing. But anyway, that's what forced him and then to stop agility. And then since Winston, I have shown my Corgi Chi-Chi in agility, my Corgi Checkers, three, my Border Collie Karina, my Aussie Callie, and then three of my friends' tollers, Nova Scotia Duck Tolling Retrievers, and had six champions with the Masters Agility Champion World. And we didn't show much. A lot of agility folks, they go every weekend. They're diehards. And honestly, we only trialed and competed about 8 to 10 times a year. So we were very, very successful considering the amount of trials we went to together.
What do you credit your success to with all these different dogs? They're, you know, corgis, border collies, duck tolling retrievers. What do you think made your dog so good at agility?
Well, to be honest, like I said, I'm completely self-taught. And I did, you know, I did teach agility right here at home for 5 years before I retired. To be honest, in my opinion, just like with all my training, I'm a 100% positive trainer, and all of my training is basically trained through play.
Yeah, I think that's really important. Everything I've seen that you do with your dogs, which is one reason I really wanted to bring you to our listeners, is the fun that you bring to your relationship with your dogs by playing with them and using toys and treats, and they just really want to do what you want them to do.
And you know, like
sure
you said,
they love it.
Well, and that was a good question you asked, because, you know, I've had, like you said, I've had different breeds. You know, I've had several herding dogs, but then I brought, you know, Nova Scotia duck trolling retrievers in the mix that were not even mine. They were my dear friend's dogs, so yes, they loved me like I was their mother, but still, they're total different thinking dog. They're a retriever, you know, they're totally different than the way a herding dog thinks. And, you know, I train them the same way. Even my students that I've taught over the years with agility and dancing, it's all, you will never see a prong collar on my dog.
Oh, God, no.
See me electric collar on my dog. Or, you know, grant you, my dogs need to know that, you know, what I say is what I say. I am the pack leader. However, it's proof with all of my dogs and my students over the years that all of these accomplishments can be done through, like you just said, play. Toy, tugging, you know, reward, constant, positive reward.
Yeah, that's what really I think sets you apart, is that making it so much fun, and there's always a reward, and the dog is a partner with you in everything that I've seen you do with them. What kinds of other dog sports have you done besides agility before you got into dog dancing?
That was basically it, just agility. I tried dock diving a couple times with our Aussie Callie Sue that we had a few years ago, and she actually did good with that. The first time competition we ever went to, she was the top dog in her beginner's division. But that's all I've really done was just agility.
I know you've done rally a couple of times, too, so you have some knowledge of that.
Very little, to be honest with you. I did it at our specialty, the Mayflower specialty, years ago with Winston and Chi-Chi. And to be honest with you, I went into the rally ring like, what am I doing here? I have no idea. but we made it through because, you know, but again, getting back to freestyle, you know why I think I made it through was because a lot of the rally moves, I noticed, at least in the court, the tests that we had to do, were similar to the dancing moves.
Right.
A lot of them. So my dogs are sort of already trained that way, so it's like the hard part for me was just reading the signs and trying to figure out what they were because I wasn't used to it.
That's right. That is a part, big part of it for people that don't know how to do it.
But the reason why I always go back to freestyle in dancing with my dogs is, for me personally, and again, this is just me personally, competing and like obedience or rally, that's just too, there's too many rules for my liking. I'm just being honest.
And you get to use your creativity in freestyle too, which is a big part of it.
Yes, that's it. And so for me, that works. But the good thing is that a lot of freestyle people can use their rally moves into their dancing.
Mm-hmm.
So it works both ways.
Ron, you were telling me before how much freestyle has helped your agility with your dogs, too.
Yes, it definitely has. We'll talk about that briefly. Yes, it has. For example, years ago, I used to have some, a lot of my agility friends, you know, not really believe me when I would say, oh, this dancing, you know, has helped my dogs with their agility. And, you know, they just kind of laugh at me or just say, yeah, right, you know. But it really honestly does, because I start my I start my, like, I'm getting a cute little Wilbur Corgi puppy in a couple weeks. He will never have DM, a breeder that has done the right thing. And I start training my puppies to dance, like, as soon, like, I'll probably give Wilbur maybe a day or two to get accustomed to things, and then he's going to start learning. He's going to start learning to dance. You know, the little puppy leg weaves and stuff. So what happened with that, if you think about it, when for folks that are familiar with running agility, you're out there making change of directions with certain body languages and moves that lets your dog know you're setting them up for a change of direction. And they're almost identical moves to everything they're learning as a puppy through dancing. So, like, my border collie, Karina, at 4 months old, when I was training her to do rear crosses and change of directions over jumps, of course, she didn't have the bars up because she was a baby, so I was just sending her through the standards. She was doing it at 4 months old already, and it's all because of dancing. Also, when I would go to my agility competitions, and you always have a warm-up jump that folks can take their dog over and kind of put them over a jump and kind of warm them up a little bit before their run, I would be like the only one at the trials dancing over the jump. I actually would have some competitors sit there like tapping their foot on the ground saying, all right, Karen. But think about it, dancing, they're turning, they're doing, they're going through the legs, so they're actually limbering up their entire body.
Right. It's a lot of
By doing that before they go into the ring.
That's right.
And also helps get the focus and control, because it's easy to take your dog, if you're over a jump at the warm-up ring, going over the jump. But how easy is it to take that dog, put him over the jump, soon as they land, put him into a spin, put him through your legs, back over the jump, you know, things like that, which really is helping their control and focus for when you go out to the agility ring, because you're out there running a course, that dog has to stay focus on you constantly for direction to change them to move to one obstacle to the other. So I've always found it extremely helpful with agility.
Well, that's really a great point for people that are doing agility or rally. The benefits of freestyle dancing with your dog can bring to your other dog sports, and it's such a great thing to do with your dog no matter what. I know I'll always remember seeing you. The only live freestyle performance I've ever seen was you doing Low Rider with Winnie at the Mayflower Corgi specialty, dog dancing in his cart. So,
yeah,
and that was a memorable performance for a lot of people.
It sure was. When I was done that day at the specialty, because I spent the weekend, I spent the night, and then I went home the next day, and so many folks that I passed, you know, were like, oh, my God, that brought me to tears, and oh, my God, that was so beautiful. And, you know, and the poor guy, he was 14 and a half. That when we performed there and had degenerative myelopathy. At that point, he was completely paralyzed from about mid-spine back, and he rocked that place.
Oh, yeah, everybody. I mean, and it's so hard at a specialty show because, as we all know, sometimes breeders are not that receptive to some of our input about some of these genetic diseases that can be prevented. And
right.
One of the things that I think about Winston happily is the influence he had on you for all the work you've been doing to publicize degenerative myelopathy among the Corgi people on all the Corgi Facebook pages. And I think a lot of people immediately associate you with that kind of work as well as your dog dancing. Can you talk a little bit more about what you've done to promote degenerative myelopathy? You've been so successful. I think people are starting to listen.
Yes, I do too, and it's just little me living in a tiny 900 square foot cottage in a very poor area of New York State.
One person can make change.
But yes, this disease, sadly, like you, Sally, you had two corgis with this horrible disease, and now my third corgi, Checkers, has it. And so for the last 12 years of my life, I've literally dealt with living with degenerative myelopathy. So imagine a human parent having three of their children get ALS.
No, yeah.
I mean, that's exactly what it's like. For me, my dogs and many of us are my children.
Oh, yeah.
So this disease has literally impacted my emotional and physical health, just the stress of it, and watching my loved dogs go through this and the care of them, and just like already just with Checker's hind end starting to get weaker and weaker, I can feel the destruction of watching this happening to my third dog affecting me already. How can it not?
Oh, yeah. I mean, and they are so go-y and trying, and, you know, they just seem so puzzled why their back legs aren't going when they tell them, but they still keep trying.
I can tell now, my husband Brian thinks I'm kind of imagining it, but I disagree. I'm the one that's with them 24 hours. I can already tell that Checkers is realizing something's happening to him.
Mm-hmm.
He's different than she and Winston. He's always been a little bit more protective of his body, mainly because he's not as high driven. And I can just tell, because when he tries to run now, you know how it is when they get close to a cart, their rear end is like the caboose coming off the engine.
Exactly.
And so he stops, which is good. Because, you know, but I can just tell that he's like, something's happening to me. That's the sad part about this disease, is that us humans, sadly, we know what's happening to us, but the animal does not.
Right. And it's such a labor of love to care for them. I know plenty of people.
So I started my Facebook journey 2 years ago with Chi-Chi. There's sadly a lot of people out there on Facebook and in groups that have corgis with DM. But my approach was a little different. My approach was, I'm not going to do this through groups, because sadly, the members of these degenerative myelopathy groups are people that are already going through this.
Right.
So my decision was, I'm going to go public with this. And in fact, one of my very first posts came from a show breeder, saying just that. Why don't you make these posts to the degenerative myelopathy groups?
We need to take a break right now to hear from our sponsors, but we'll be back in a few minutes with more of our show, and we'll hear more from Karen about degenerative myelopathy and her wonderful dog dancing. Thanks for joining us. We'll be right back.
Interested in learning more? Visit physical therapist Sally Morgan's website at sallymorganpt.com, where you will find details about her upcoming speaking engagements, craniosacral therapy, and Tellington T-Touch offerings, as well as information about holistic care for animals. Join the mailing list today and be the first to learn about upcoming events and special offers. Sally Morgan is a best-selling author, and her book, Dances of the Heart, Connecting with Animals, details her journey of learning to listen to animals. Her unique set of animal connection cards offers 52 activities to enhance your relationships with the animals in your life, and she suggests that you ask your pet to choose a card each week. Both Sally's book and her cards are available on Amazon and her website, sallymorganpt.com. Join Sally Morgan PT CST Daily on Facebook for conversations with a corgi, and visit YouTube for past episodes as well as Sally's TED Talk. When it comes to our pet's health, you can never be too careful. We invest significant time in ensuring that they have long and happy lives, but it's important to invest the same dedication into our own longevity. The key active ingredient in Dr. Morgan's wellness formula, Pure New Zealand Deer Antler Velvet, is now available as a standalone human-grade product. Life Deer Antler Velvet is a whole food supplement rich in calcium and collagen to support healthy joints and strong bones. Our products prioritize purity, ethical harvesting, and quality sourcing above all else. Visit LifePureRecovery.com to learn more and order your first bottle today.
Tune in to world-renowned author, speaker, and holistic veterinarian Dr. Judy Morgan, and now radio host of Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network every Monday and Tuesday, 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Not sure which vaccinations should be given or how often? Not sure which food is best for your individual pet? Find out the answers to your questions in this weekly show where Dr. Judy interviews top experts and showcases the latest products that will help your pets stay naturally healthy.
Does your dog have bad breath? Tired of spending money on expensive dental procedures? Try out Dr. Morgan's Dental Drops today and save money while maintaining your pet's oral health. With New Zealand deer antler velvet as the primary ingredient, Dr. Morgan's Dental Drops are effective for treating stomatitis, gingivitis, and ulcers. You can purchase Dr. Morgan's Dental Drops directly from Amazon Prime or from her website, www.drjudymorgan.com.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Hello, and welcome back to Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets on DreamVision7Radio.com. And I'm your host, holistic physical therapist for pets and people, and Dr. Judy Morgan's sister, Sally Morgan. And I'm here with my guest today, Karen Tindall, who has years of experience performing with dog dancing, commonly known as freestyle in the dog world. And we were just talking about the work she's been doing to promote DM awareness, because like me, she's had now three corgis with DM, and that is a devastating situation when you spent years of your life training and working with a dog to do freestyle and agility, and just a relationship with any dog. It's a devastating illness. So Karen, tell us about your Facebook work for DM.
Okay, so like I said, my decision was to go public, and one of my verses through groups, this way, obviously going public, just hopefully anybody that might be scrolling by would see it. And one of my very first posts, like I started to say, was from a show breeder up in Canada. And her comment to me was that I should, you know, make these posts to the groups. And my reply back was, oh, no, I'm going public with this. So it's been 2 years, and also the other difference is I've been repetitive about it, meaning I'm almost posting something about DM regarding almost a couple times a week. And usually I do is I share videos of my Chi-Chi and now my checkers, how we are trying to still go through this disease, doing what we've always done, also giving care tips, but more giving awareness to the future corgi person, corgi buyer, even so many corgi lovers that have corgis that sadly aren't even aware of this disease.
That's right.
Is to let them know that there is a test available, DNA test available for this disease that many breeders are using, and many breeders still sadly are not. So we're trying to bring constant public awareness to all these corgi folks in the future that may want a corgi or to know that they need to ask their breeder of choice if they test for this particular test along with the other tests that a good breeder should be testing for.
It's so important, and really, if you have German Shepherds or Pugs or Boxers or any of these other breeds that are prone to getting DM, it would be great if you want to start a movement, as Karen has done, just by posting pictures of your dog and telling your story from a very personal point. Karen has been brave enough to post those pictures at 3 in the morning when she's exhausted and crying from what's going on with her dog so that people can really see the devastation this disease has on a dog lover and a dog
parent.
Yes,
and also to bring awareness, you know, while doing this, I've had a lot of breeders, come back at me not so nicely, and I knew that this was going to happen when I started this adventure 2 years ago. But, you know, there's a reason why, you know, they're being defensive about it. They're probably the ones that are not testing. And also, my whole goal, like I said, is to bring awareness so that the more people that ask for the testing, and if their breeder does not test, they move on to find one that does. Hopefully that will down the road maybe make more breeders do testing, because they're going to be losing puppy buyers.
That's right. And that often will make a difference. And what I've done, I've had the dog I have now is DM Clear, and so I had his parents tested because the people were on a budget and couldn't afford it, and it was important to me. But
exactly.
They have not understanding of how important that is. I mean, they're just, you know, breeding a great dog, a great working dog to whatever female they have at the time. But I think the more awareness that gets out there, the better it is. And, you know, it's what you're doing is really important.
Well, for example, my newest puppy that will be joining us here in 3 weeks, Wilbur. His breeder is a show breeder in Virginia. And she is proof the test can work. She has done the correct thing. She has used the DNA testing as a tool with her selective breeding choices, and she told me it's literally taken her 3 years, and she's now producing top-quality corgis that are successful in the show ring that are all clears or carriers.
So that's
proof that this test can work.
That's right. And there's so much more we can say about that, but let's talk about little Wilbur and the Dazzle Dogs that he's going to be joining us. Tell us about Dazzle Dogs. How did you found this name for your business, and tell us about that.
Well, how it all started was 13 or almost 14 years ago now with my special Sir Winston, and he definitely deserves to have the word Sir in front of his name. Just like
Elton
John.
No. So did my Winston. Those are proper dogs.
Exactly. But anyway, what I did with Winston when I started this dancing is I had the competition bug in me still. And so I competed with him at the World Canine Freestyle Organization, some of their competitions. Sadly, in the freestyle dancing world, versus agility and obedience and other dog sports, there's not a lot of competition venue opportunities, and it's very expensive. So I took him to a couple shows, and he just kicked butt. I mean, his first show we ever went to, he won the Spectator Appeals Award out of all divisions. And, well, just picture this, a corgi, and you know what we did our dance to? Roll out the barrel. It was perfect. And so then I got Chi-Chi, my next corgi, and then right away I started teaching her to dance as a puppy. So I took her to her first competition when she wasn't even two with Winston, and she competed, and she did really well. She won her division and so forth. So one night my friend and I, Nancy, were talking, And she's the one that actually came up the idea. She says to me, you know, you're so good with what you do with your dogs. Instead of spending money to go to competitions, why don't you try to make money and put shows on?
Great idea.
And I'm like, wow, that's a really good idea. But how do I go about it, you know? So we came up with the word Dazzle Dog one night just because they're so dazzling.
And they are.
And they're sparkling stars. And the way I perform mostly for the New York State, and I've done a lot of shows in Massachusetts in our area, a couple in Vermont, but for the a lot of your libraries have what they call summer reading programs. And they hire people to perform for the kids to keep them engaged and involved with the reading programs. So the bulk of our business is for that. And then we also perform for seniors, a lot of senior citizens, nursing homes, assisted living facilities, and also senior centers. And we've done our fair share of demos over the years. We've done some fair performances at county fairs and so forth. So that's how we got started. And I just went to another. And then I started collecting more Dazzle dogs because you know, Winston and Charm couldn't put a whole 45-minute show on by themselves. So what I do with my shows is our shows are about an hour long, and each dog goes out with me independently. So I've chosen to do it that way versus your circus type of performances where there's multiple dogs out there. I wanted to do something, and again, it comes back to the bond and the individual trust and love and connection you have with that dog. So each one of my dogs goes out with me. The Border Collies have maybe two or three segments, and the Corgis used to do either one or two. And we do each individual routines, and it's all done to music. It's dancing, it's tricks. My Border Collies, you know, ride the skateboard. Mm-hmm. They play the ring game where they stack rings on a cone. They play basketball. So that's how it all began, and 13 years later, we're still at it.
And doing more. You've been working at a place called Camp Getaway for a number of years. Can you tell us about that experience and what that is about?
That's a wonderful place. It's called Canine Camp Getaway of New York. And it's stationed out of, Janice Costa is the founder and director organization. She lives down in Long Island. And the camp is up here in New York State. It's up at, hosted at the Roaring Brook Ranch, which is in Lake Luzerne, New York. And it's a wonderful camp. People come, campers come, and they pay a fee. It's 5 days long in the summer camp in June, and then they have one in the fall, which is, I think, 4 days long. And they pay a fee. They stay at the camp at the beautiful Roaring Brook Ranch. And everything is included. They have at least 20 or more classes throughout the day, every day. So I've been there 9 years, so I teach freestyle dance, beginners and intermediate, and also I do advanced agility. But mostly dancing. I can't tell you how many students over the years that from camp that continue to come back to me, and also new ones that come every time to learn dancing.
No, it's so exciting that to have that opportunity for a camper, I would think, to be able to try it if they are coming for agility or rally or obedience, to be able to do something so much fun and different, I think, is really great for them and their dogs.
Well, and the camp, they just keep adding to it. Like every time an AKC adds a new venue, like now they have barn hunt classes.
Oh, great.
You know, I think the only class they don't have available yet, and it's probably just because they don't have a dock, is dock diving. But, you know, they do lore course. I mean, they have crafts. It's unbelievable. And so folks wake up, you know, in the morning, and they have their breakfast at 7 o'clock, and then from 7 o'clock to lunch break, it's just packed full of, you know, choices. And a lot of the classes, such as mine, dancing, are inside in the conference building. So you're inside in air conditioning when it's hot, and you've got carpeting so your dogs don't have to worry about slipping or whatever. It's a really nice place. So, folks, if you're listening, you should check it out. It's called Canine Camp Getaway of New York, and that would be their website that you would Google.
And do they have people coming from all over the country for that?
Yes and no. A lot of the folks in general come from, like, the tri-state areas,
mm-hmm.
You know, Vermont, you know, everything that's around New York, Long Island, Connecticut, a lot of folks from Manhattan. But, yes, there are some people. There was a couple of folks there this year from Illinois. A lot of people come down from Canada. They have quite a few campers that come down from Canada.
Great. So it's international.
But it is open for anybody, you know, in the nation if they want to travel.
Oh, well, it would be so fun to do something like that with your dog. And I know from other things I've done with a bunch of people with dogs for the weekend, working at like Malamute Rescue and doing classes for them over a two-day course. It's just such a wonderful experience to be somewhere with a lot of people that love dogs and a lot of dogs. We're going to take another break right now to hear from our sponsors. You are listening to Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets with physical therapist for pets and people, Sally Morgan, on DreamVision7Radio.com. We'll be back with you in just a few moments.
Interested in learning more? Visit physical therapist Sally Morgan's website at sallymorganpt.com, where you will find details about her upcoming speaking engagements, craniosacral therapy, and Tellington T-Touch offerings, as well as information about holistic care for animals. Join the mailing list today and be the first to learn about upcoming events and special offers. Sally Morgan is a best-selling author, and her book, Dances of the Heart, Connecting with Animals, details her journey of learning to listen to animals. Her unique set of animal connection cards offers 52 activities to enhance your relationships with the animals in your life, and she suggests that you ask your pet to choose a card each week. Both Sally's book and her cards are available on Amazon and her website, sallymorganpt.com. Join Sally Morgan PT CST Daily on Facebook for conversations with a corgi, and visit YouTube for past episodes as well as Sally's TED Talk. When it comes to our pets' health, you can never be too careful. We invest significant time in ensuring that they have long and happy lives, but it's important to invest the same dedication into our own longevity. The key active ingredient in Dr. Morgan's wellness formula, Pure New Zealand Deer Antler Velvet, is now available as a standalone human-grade product. Life Deer Antler Velvet is a whole food supplement rich in calcium and collagen to support healthy joints and strong bones. Our products prioritize purity, ethical harvesting, and quality sourcing above all else. Visit LifePureRecovery.com to learn more and order your first bottle today.
Tune in to world-renowned author, speaker, and holistic veterinarian Dr. Judy Morgan, and now radio host of Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network every Monday and Tuesday, 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Not sure which vaccinations should be given or how often? Not sure which food is best for your individual pet? Find out the answers to your questions in this weekly show, where Dr. Judy interviews top experts and showcases the latest products that will help your pets stay naturally healthy.
Does your dog have bad breath? Tired of spending money on expensive dental procedures? Try out Dr. Morgan's Dental Drops today and save money while maintaining your pet's oral health. With New Zealand Deer Antler Velvet as the primary ingredient, Dr. Morgan's Dental Drops are effective for treating stomatitis, gingivitis, and ulcers. You can purchase Dr. Morgan's Dental Drops directly from Amazon Prime or from her website, www.drjudymorgan.com.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Welcome back. You're listening to Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets, and I'm holistic physical therapist for pets and people, and Dr. Judy Morgan's sister, Sally Morgan. And we're here with Karen Tindall, who is a dog freestyle teacher and agility champion, and she has a business called Dazzle Dogs. Karen, tell me, what was your most favorite experience or performance you've had with your Dazzle Dogs so far?
Well, it's hard to say with, you know, being doing it for 13 years. There's quite a few of them. I would say, I mean, the dogs, they're always fabulous. I mean, that's what I love about them. And again, it comes down to the training where they've been trained through fun and play. When we go and do a show to them, it's like, oh, good, we're going to go play, but now just in front of a bunch of people.
Right.
In fact, my border collie, Karina, it's so funny when we get to our facilities to perform, like, she doesn't even want people to pet her. She gets there and she's like, okay, when do we start?
She's a star. Nobody in the green room.
But I must say, to sum it up quickly, is performing for kids is joyful because it brings, the kids are so excited, you know, and a lot of them are little. The kids that we, you know, it's usually age from like 2 to about 10.
Oh, yeah.
So that's kind of fun. You know, they're so excited. They can't stand it, you know. They're just so excited. So that's a cool feeling. But for me personally, I really like performing for seniors the best, mainly because so many of them, you know, used to have dogs.
Right. And they miss them.
Right. They miss them. They can't have them anymore. And then, of course, sadly, in reality, a lot of them are just in another world. They're depressed. They have Alzheimer's. They're not in well health. So they're just kind of sitting there staring. But then they hear the music, which is blasting, and they see this animal come out and start performing. And all of a sudden, these seniors that are so depressed or sad or in another world are looking up, smiling, and watching.
Oh, it's so wonderful for them to see dogs, and I'm sure doing what you do is just so delightful for them.
Yeah, I mean, so for me, if I must choose both, like I said, I like both avenues. But for me personally, every time I go out and perform with them for 13 years, it's a great show and a great time every time.
How do you pick your music, Karen, for your performances?
I usually go with what Carolyn Scott taught me years ago. When you're matching music with your dog, the easiest way to do it, and this will help you, Sally, probably with Tristan, as you yourself are learning to dance, yay, and we'll get to that in our Dazzle Size session this month. You just basically watch your dog the way they gait, their natural gait, you know, the way they move. And she actually said you look at their hiney. You look at their butt.
Mm-hmm.
You watch the way their butt moves. You combine that with their personality, and that's how you select the music.
Oh, so it's just the same as when I was doing freestyle with my horses. I tried to find music that matched their hoofbeats and also their personality.
And actually, freestyle with dogs is almost identical to freestyle with horses.
It is.
It really
is. For me, it's harder because I have to run around with them.
Well, yeah, I think they're both hard. You know, riding a horse and getting them to do that's not easy either. It's a 1,000-pound animal that you're on. But I understand the two, you know, they're both difficult, in my opinion. But they're fun, too.
That's right. Well, and I just was so excited to be able to talk to you for our listeners about what you're doing now with an online class to teach people about dog dancing with her Dazzle Size classes. And I am so lucky to be in her first group of students. It's been so much fun. So, Karen, tell us about your online classes.
Okay, what it is, I just started it. This is our first session going on right now, which is in July. Started on July 23rd. It's a private closed group called Dazzle Size, and that group
on Facebook.
Pardon me?
On Facebook.
Yes, it's on Facebook. Yes, it's on Facebook, and it's a private closed group. And what it does, it offers 6-week training courses in learning how to dance with your dog, also all sorts of other tricks, and also a lot of training tips. Everything was all combined in a 6-week package. We are going to be offering right now, we're in our beginner session, and hopefully if these folks move on, we will be offering another page for intermediate and advanced and continue on with new people coming to beginners. And the reason why I came up with this idea was so many of us are so busy. We're working full-time, we're running around like crazy, we're taking our dogs to maybe other classes during the week. And I thought, what a great way to try to reach people to teach their dogs right on Facebook, where they can do it at home, in their tiny space. A lot of our classes are held right in my tiny living room with my border collies, just to prove that you don't need a huge space to do it. And also, it's a great place to exercise you and your dogs when the weather's so bad.
Oh, yeah.
So it's totally made for convenience of the people that join the class. The videos will be aired for the whole six-week session, each week posting new lessons. I'm always available for questions, comments, students share videos of what they're learning.
That's been really fun, seeing other students' videos. I have to say, it's really, it helps you not feel like you don't know what you're doing when you see other people struggling or trying to figure things out, too.
Well, exactly. What I'm trying to do is by people sharing videos and of what they're learning from my training videos, also comments, is we're still trying to make it as though a real class. Like if you were going to a real class at a facility, this is what you're going to do at a facility. You're going to watch other students doing the lesson. The trainer is going to critique them or help them, and other students are going to learn through that. So this is done where everybody can do it right at home, at their own time, and what's easiest for them, and even in their pajamas if they want to.
That's right. Can you tell us, for people who don't know about freestyle, are there required elements? Like what's the basics that people are going to be trying to get when they take your classes?
Well, just like any sport or any dog, you know, training, obedience, whatever, you all have your foundations that you have to learn to advance to more difficult challenges, tests, or moves. So, for example, in our beginner session, you're learning the five basic skills which will eventually lead you to all the further advanced moves that you may want to learn if you continue. So they are usually like leg weaves, spins, meaning turning your dog right or left, go rounds, a moving call front, a lot of healing work, which we're going to work on next week's class, and a lot of just basic training tips, control and focus issues, you know, just things like that, how to use toys and your voice and food to help train your dog.
Yeah, to me, one of the most impressive things about what I've learned and watched you is how you use your body language so clearly to help your dogs know what you want them to do and use your voice as well. Can you talk about that?
Yes, of course, you know, with dancing, the dog has to train, you know, the dog, when you're dancing with another partner, human partner, you have that, you can talk to that person. You can say, okay, honey, if you're dancing with your husband or whatever, I'm going to go two steps to the left and then I'm going to turn to the right. With a dog, you know, they don't know that. You can't communicate to that. So that comes with your voice, with the cues, and also they're reading your body language. That is how they're learning to follow you. Just like with real dancing, there's usually a leader with a human, and then their partner follows. So the dog really has to learn that body language with all the broken down moves that I'm now teaching, and also your voice. Your voice, I have found over the years, just simply adding your voice to the mix helps keep the dog engaged with you, helps keep the dog focused on you.
And how do you make that transition to dog dancing from just doing a bunch of tricks strung together?
That's the hard part. That's the hard part. See, I've learned over the years with teaching so many folks that that's what people have the hardest part doing. Teaching the tricks, to a degree, in my opinion, is the easy part. Like you said, taking all these tricks and making them go from one, flowing from one to another so the dog actually appears to be dancing is the hard part. And again, that just takes lots of instruction from me if you join Dazzlesize and training, just like anything else.
Right, and I think from what I've observed and practiced trying to do this for the last 4 years, it takes a certain amount of musicality on the person's part. Like you have to connect with the music you're using in some way to get your enthusiasm up so that you can connect with your dog in a way that he wants to do this with you and he finds it really fun. And I know with my horses, they always knew when the music was playing for them to come into the ring, and they got really excited about doing their freestyles. They really enjoyed it, and I'm sure it's the same with dogs.
It is. In fact, one of these days I'm going to videotape it just for something and post it on my Facebook timeline. My dog should be laying there, just laying in the living room, hanging out, and the second they hear music, they instantly like, oh my God. Because I don't really play music a lot except if I'm working with them. So they, when they hear music, it's dance playtime.
That's right. Yeah, my horses got very enthusiastic when I was practicing in my head before we went into class. I'd have to play the music with earphones so they couldn't hear it, or they'd get very excited and anticipate and go too fast, and then it was not as fun. Tell us how people can find out about Dazzle Size. If they want to join a training group, how can they reach you?
Okay, the best place, I'm on Instagram under Dazzle Dogs, but mostly through my Facebook page. Now, because Dazzle Size is a closed group, the best way to contact me is on my Karen Tyndall private or personal page.
Can you spell your name? Because it's a little different.
Yes, it's Karen with a C. It's spelled C-A-R-Y-N. And then Tyndall, T as in Tom, I-N-D-A-L.
Okay, so we
that
just look for you on
way.
Facebook?
Yes, that would be the best way to get in touch with me, and they could private message me or just post something on my timeline. Sometimes it takes me a while to get back, a couple days, but I will definitely always get back, especially if people are interested in joining class.
Oh, and it's just so much fun. I can't suggest this enough to people, no matter you've got a tiny Chihuahua or a Great Dane. Dog dancing is so much fun. Or an old dog, or even a dog in wheels. There is not any kind of dog that can't do this with you. And I would imagine you could probably even do it with a dog in a stroller or in a wagon.
As you saw with when Charm went through this. But I want to say before we run out of time that this is a great thing for older dogs. An older dog that maybe just can't run agility anymore because they're broken down or they're just getting arthritic and, you know, just like all of us, they're getting older. But this is a great This is a great skill to teach your older dogs because it keeps them engaged. It keeps them focused, and it keeps them up, and it keeps their body going and without any impact on their body. There's always in training different maneuvers, moves to, you know, modify them to make it easier for each dog's needs. There's not a specific way that each one has to be done. There's always modification like yoga.
Well, thank you, Karen. This has just been so much fun to talk to you about dancing with dogs and building a relationship with your dogs through dog dancing. And until next week, thank you for listening to Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets, today with your host, Sally Morgan, holistic physical therapist for pets and people, and Dr. Judy's sister, on DreamVision7Radio.com. Thanks for joining us.
That's all for today. Find more answers to your questions next time on Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets, every Monday and Tuesday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time by going to DreamVision7Radio.com. Join holistic veterinarian Dr. Judy to discover healthy options for raising your pets in a more holistic manner. Visit DrJudyMorgan.com to learn more.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.